This is Fresh Air. Robert Hunter, who wrote lyrics for many Grateful Dead songs, died Monday. He was 78. We've dipped into our archive so we could play back my interview with him. Hunter wrote lyrics to songs Dead fans know by heart, like these.
Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door. Think this through with me. Let me know your mind.
By 20 hands. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out one, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, baby, lonely 20 bills.
I've been balling a shiny black steel jackhammer, been chipping up rocks for the great highway. I live 5 years if I take my time, balling that jack and drinking my wine. I've been chipping them rocks from dawn till doom, while my rider hide my bottle in the other room. I'm gonna bust my back, yes I will.
Chugging like the doo-dah man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down.
Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia met when they were teenagers and played folk music together. After Garcia formed the Grateful Dead in the mid-60s, Hunter started writing most of the lyrics for Garcia's songs. In the mid-60s, the Grateful Dead were the house band for Ken Kesey's Acid Tests, parties in which people were tripping out on LSD, parties that helped bring acid into the counterculture. Hunter's first experience with LSD and other psychedelics was when he was given them as part of a Stanford research project that he did not know was funded by the CIA, which was looking for a mind control drug. The CIA's mind control program was the subject of an interview we did just a few weeks ago on Fresh Air. My interview with Robert Hunter was recorded in 1988, 7 years before the death of Jerry Garcia.
When you're writing a song with Garcia and he's writing the music, you're writing the lyrics, let me ask that age-old question of which comes first.
Well, what's happening right now is Jerry's coming over to the house every day. We're getting some songs together for a new album, and I give him some starter ideas, and he looks at those, and we just batter it back and forth and back and forth. These songs for Grateful Dead are true collaboration for the most part. There are times when I've handed him lyrics and he's set them. Other times when he's handed me accomplished changes and I've put words to those. But when it works best is when we actually get our heads together and battle it back and forth until there's something that we mutually agree on.
When you were traveling with the band, and the people who were on stage would get so much attention, would you ever feel a little left out as the lyricist who wasn't on the stage basking in all the glory?
Oh, you bet I did. Oh, it was misery. All those jerks up there getting all that glory and all the girls and everything like that. I'm just miserable. All I had was my spiral notebook. Yeah, boy. Well, I'll get even.
Can you confirm this for me? I read somewhere that you were one of the participants in the Stanford University program of government experimentation with LSD in the early 1960s?
Yeah, they paid me $140 to take LSD, second psilocybin, I think third mescaline, and then the fourth week, all three of them together.
No kidding.
which was a joy in one way, but they also came and took 5 cc's of blood every 2 hours, and when you're hoinged out on acid, here comes Dracula again.
Oh, gosh, what did they tell you about LSD before they gave it to you the first time?
Nothing. They didn't want me to know a thing about it, and I lied to them. I told them that I knew nothing about it, and I had read Doors of Perception, in fact.
Oh, and that's why you wanted to be in the program, probably.
Yeah. And they called it, the word at the time was psychotomimetic drugs, miming psychosis, and they wanted to find out if it increased your ability to be hypnotized and to take suggestions. And I don't know what they found out from that. I was sitting there, and they were trying to run these little hypnotic things on me, I remember, and all of a sudden tears began running out of my eyes, and the psychologist said, well, what's happening here? And I said, well, it's kind of hard to describe, but I'm out in the fifth dimension somewhere, and I'm a great jade green Buddha, and there's a pool growing out of my lap, and it's just and the water of the pool is running out of my eyes. I'm not really crying. You know? I think they began twigging that they were onto something a little bit more than a simple heightening of suggestibility here.
Do you think that tripping a lot changed the kind of lyrics that you were writing?
Oh, it had to.
Yeah.
It had to. I mean, it was... I was tripping around in mystic space and making the mystic connections, which I think were right for the time. I look back on that stuff with a great deal of affection. I know where it comes from, and I think people do. It's part and parcel of that generation. Don't write like that anymore, but I don't take the drug anymore.
I figure if I had a nickel for everyone who got really high and listened to your lyrics and tried to figure out the more elliptical imagery, that I'd really be a wealthy woman. What are some of the crazier interpretations you've gotten of some of your song lyrics?
Oh, heavens. Well, there was a time, it may still be so, when people would swear that I was writing about them. And if something is personal enough, there's a certain line where it becomes universal. It's you never know which ones will and which ones won't. I've written things which are so personal nobody could ever have the slightest idea, like, you know... Look for a while at the China cat, sunflower proud, walking jingle in the midnight sun. Now that gets into kind of Joycean word salad, and some people, strangely enough, know just what I mean by it, but don't, I couldn't explain that.
Can I ask you about a song? You know the song Uncle John's Band?
Mm-hmm.
One of the lines is, when life looks like easy street, there's danger at your door.
Oh, God, is that true?
Can I ask if you were you thinking of something specific when you wrote that?
I was thinking about the sort of the hippie self-congratulatory thing that we've really conquered all this. You know, here we've entered the Vietnam War, we've done this, the other thing, and you know, things looking rosy. No, it's liberty. The price is eternal vigilance.
My interview with Robert Hunter was recorded in 1988. He died Monday at the age of 78.